Love that little rumble effect right there at the end. Everybody doing okay? Yeah, y'all feel that? Y'all feel the Spirit working in the room today? Man, it's like, oof. Man, I love preaching when it's like this. Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. We seem to keep going to that book. If you don't know where Peter is, go to Revelation and turn back a couple books. You'll find. If you don't have a Bible, it should be a Bible in a seat there in front of you. And if you don't own a Bible, we would love to give you that Bible as our gift to you today. 1 Peter chapter number 3. We've got to start there. We'll move into chapter number 4. We just want to see one verse in chapter 3. And then we want to move. But what we want to do, I want to do something fun with you first, because we're going to talk about our past a little bit today. And the truth is we all have a past, and we all have some memories of our past. We have things that we remember about our past, and so I think some of that's going to flood our way today. So let me kind of date the room here a little bit. Don't feel bad about this, because I was the one who came up with these. So when I ask you this question with a name like Smuckers, somebody tell me. It has to be good, man. That's a lot of people in here knew that, right? Oh, and by the way, I put Blackberry on purpose. That would be the best. All right, how about this one? Choosy Mothers Choose. Wow, man, there you go. I think they changed it at some point. They said Choosy Moms, but I like Choosy Mothers. It just sounds better. You guys are going to know this one. Everybody in this room is going to know this one. Yabba Dabba Do. What? Friend of the store. So we all can pick up on some Fred, right? All right, now we got to do something. I knew I'd kind of be dating back a little bit as I went some of these, because some of them are going, what? I've never heard this before, right? So let me give you one for some millennials today. Got to catch them all. There you go. And the adult said, yeah, I remember that. All right. Well, here's what I want to do, guys, is remind us this morning, because Scripture does, because God does, that there's episodes that have happened in our past, and you guys, we've all lived whatever period of time that we've lived, and lots of things have unfolded, and just like these things, we recognize a lot of this, and there would be so much more that we could bring to the table today about the past and about how it's impacted us, about how it's affected us. I want to bring this to the table today. I want to bring this point into our past. This is something that has happened in our past, and I want you to see this in the Scripture in 1 Peter 3:18. Look at this. This is part of your past. This is part of my past. This is something that God is speaking very directly to us today. 1 Peter 3:18, look at this. For Christ also suffered once for sins. He suffered for what? He suffered for sins. For his own sin? No. For the sins of people, for the sins of humanity, for the sins of us. This happened in our past. Who was he? The righteous for the unrighteous. That what? That he might bring us to God. He suffered for my sin. He suffered for your sin so that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Now, I want you to jump with me down to chapter 4, verse 1. Just look down just a little ways here, because this is what he is alluding to in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, then what are we to do? Look at this. This is big, guys. This is huge. This is going to shape us today. This is going to bring some perspective to our minds today, maybe different than we had when we walked in these doors. What are we to do? We're to arm ourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So something is going on, something God is calling us to, that Christ has set an example for us for. And he did it in our past, as part of our past, as much as Smucker's jelly is part of your past and Fred Flintstone is part of your past. What God did through Christ and his suffering for your sin and my sin is part of your past. part of my past. And God wants us to know that. He wants us to understand that. He wants us to accept that. He wants us to be challenged by that. He doesn't want that to leave our minds and our hearts. God wants us to stay with it. Because why? Because something has to change. Christ didn't die just to die. He died for our sins. He died for you and me, for everything that you and I have done that has caused us to be separated from God. Look at verse 2. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, look at this, no longer for human passions. This is what has to change. What are human passions? Self-indulgent craving that replaces proper affections for God. Let me say it again. Self-indulgent craving that replaces proper affections for God. We're all guilty of that. We're all self-obsessed. So no longer for human passions, but for what? But for the will of God. Something inside of you and I has to change. Something inside of us is severely broken. Something inside of us is deeply wicked. Something inside of us causes us in our human nature to be automatically separated and removed from God. And the Bible calls it our flesh. And so we're either dominated by our flesh, and all of our thoughts and all of our actions and all of our attitudes are controlled by the flesh, or something changes inside of us. Something switches inside of us. And all of a sudden, we begin to think differently. All of a sudden, we begin to act differently. All of a sudden, we begin to care about things that we never cared about before. When we were so, like, indulging in our flesh, and it was controlling our lives and ruling our bodies and ruling everything that we did with our lives, something has to change. Or else Christ died in vain. He didn't die just for the fun of it. He didn't die because you and I were somehow as perfect as he is. It wouldn't make sense. He suffered for our sins. He suffered for us. So this is what I want you to see today. If you're taking notes, here's number one. We only have two. My past is my, emphatically, is my past. My past is my past. It's not someone else's past. It's what I've done. It's how I've acted. It's how I've orchestrated my life. It's the decisions that I've made. It's the things that I've partook of. My past, I created. I made it. The good and the bad. Your past is yours. The things that you've done with your life. The things that maybe even now, maybe at this stage in life, maybe you regret. Man, I hope so. The good and the bad of your life. But in particular today, the sins of our life. And so I want this plate that's on this table. This plate represents our past today. This is your plate. The things that you and I have indulged ourselves in this life. I want you to think for a minute about what's on your plate. I want you to think about your past. In fact, I just want to take a moment here. Let's ponder our past, would you? Think about the things you've done. Think about the choices that you've made. Let's go way back. Let's go back into your teenage years. Maybe let's go on back to when you're a little kid. Let's go maybe back to the first time you really disobeyed your mom and dad, the first time you lied, the first time you cheated, the first time you stole something, the first time you started having lustful thoughts, the first time you started acting out on those lustful thoughts, habits that have developed in your life when you were young that you still are having trouble defeating today, the parties that you went to, the things that you said, the way that you treated other people, the people that you laughed at, the people that you mocked, the people that you made fun of, the revelry, the partying, the celebrating, the waking up every single day and just saying, man, I can do whatever I want to do. I'm free to choose. Your past, the things you've done, the people you slept with, the people you've slandered. See, we don't like sitting in this, do we? This is where he takes us. Listen to what he says. Look in verse number 3. For the time that has passed, what were we like? Suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. What were we like? We were like those who chose in their life not to honor God. And what did it lead to? It leads to some very deep stuff for some of us in this room. Man, he's going to describe us right here. Listen to what he says, that living in sensuality, what? Indulging in unrestrained sensual pleasure. In your past, has that been part of your life? Can you identify with that? Whether it's looking at pornography or whatever it's led to, look at what this says, passions, what? Lust, craving fleshly desires, human passions, living out our own way, doing our own thing, living it up, thinking God doesn't see, thinking nobody sees, thinking nobody cares, that I can do whatever I want. And this world today would say, hey man, you can have the stage. Your past, my past. Listen to this, listen to the language, drunkenness, orgies. Isn't that a strange word to be in the Bible? But how depraved do people really get sometimes? Even some of us sitting in this room, how far have we gone? Drinking parties, these all align here. Drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties. In other words, binge partying, excessive living that leads to moral recklessness. And in the moment, man, we think it's so sweet. In the moment, we think it's so awesome. In the moment, we think it's so good. It's so great. Lawless idolatry, look at this. Anything in our lives that would receive our devotion above God. Wow. Lawless idolatry. Anything in this life that I would be devoted to more than I'm devoted to God, could I possibly be guilty of that? What about all the parties, man? I mean, Pastor Scott's having to go back too, guys. I promise it hurts. That was so dumb. I was such a fool. The things you'll do, the things you'll say when you're out of your right mind. And being in a state of mind where we can't even comprehend God, or we don't even want to, or maybe in that state, man, maybe we'll even poke fun at God. Maybe we'll even blaspheme God. How many of us in here blaspheme God? It's part of your past. It's who you are. You can't get rid of that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You laid this down. It's as much a part of your past as anything else in your life that you know. It's who you are. You developed it. You created it. You established it. You made those decisions. They're yours. They're eternal. They're stuck to you. They're attached to you. That's who you are. You don't fool God. Maybe nobody else in the room knows just how wicked you've been, and nobody else knows in this room how wicked I've been. But God knows. And it offends him. But the only problem with it is the past is real. You can't change the past. It stays with you. All the things we've done. And man, we thought it was so sweet, didn't we? We even write songs about this right here, won't we? What all have you done with the red Solo cup? Right? How's this red Solo cup been a part of your life? How much alcohol, how much booze that led to utter depravity has like been poured out of this, right? And so what I put inside of this cup is sugar. Because we think, man, that that life is so sweet, don't we? When we embrace that, we think, man, I can live it up. Man, I'm finally free. I can do whatever I want to do. And we think it's so sweet. And you know what it does? It just builds up more sin in our life. And so every grain of this sugar that's inside this cup represents an individual sin in your life. And in my life, because how long have we been building these sins up? Our whole life. Let me give you an example of what I mean, though, by sin. Because you go, you mean, Pastor Scott, just partying sin? There's a lot more to consider than just that. But every grain of this represents sin in your life and in my life, like promiscuity, like sexual immorality, like alcohol and drugs, excessive partying, the lies that we tell, adultery, cheating, bitter jealousy, envy, fits of anger, dissension, slander, disobedient to mother and father, sins of thought, lust, evil intentions, selfish ambition, sins of rejecting God daily, sins of being ungrateful, sins of being too good to need God, sin of knowing to do good but not doing it. Even unintentional sins that we commit in our lives. Sin of repeatedly rejecting Jesus. It just goes on and on and on. And every day we just build up more and more and more. And somehow we think, what's the big deal? But this is my past. This is your past. This is all on your plate. You say, okay, I agree with you, but what does that mean? Well, listen, I mean, this is where we have to keep going because change has got to come. One thing that will happen is when we decide that we're going to acknowledge our sin and determine to change, man, people aren't going to understand that when we determine to change. So look in verse number 4. With respect to this, they are surprised. They think it's strange when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery or in the same flood of recklessness. So those who don't understand, when you and I come to this place where we begin to acknowledge our sins before God, what do? They malign you. They attack your reputation. They make fun of you. all those people that you've spent your life with, partying, your friend base, all those who they're not serving God, they are happy to live in their revelry, but you're here today. And you're hearing this, and you know something is wrong, and something is wrong. And here's what it is. The reality is that we're all going to have to give an account for our sin one day. Look at what he says in verse 5. They will give account, in other words, a record of past events, who we, they, everyone, will give an account, a record of our plate, our past, to him who is ready to what? To judge the living and the dead. To judge the living and the dead. In fact, here's what it says in Hebrews 9:27. Watch this. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, after that comes the judgment. So here's what it's going to be like. This is where you and I come to every day. Could you guys play the heartbeat monitor for me, please? Then you stand before God with your plate of sin in your past, because it is who you are. You can't change it. It is what it is. You've laid it down. There's no escaping. Your heart stops one day. It's appointed a man once to die. And after that, the judgment of God in your life, in my life. Number two. I can't change my past, but I can change my future. Amen. I can't do anything with my past. That's my plate, God. That's what I've done. But I can change my future. Watch this. Verse 6. For this is why the gospel was preached. In other words, God says the good news has been spoken to you. Yes, you can't change your past, but the good news is you can change your future, because there's something that has happened in your past that can change your future. So listen to what he says. Even to those, the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. You and I are dead to God, right? That though judged in the flesh the way that people are, we might live in the Spirit the way that God does. God says, what I want to do with you right now, I want to judge you right now. I want to judge you before your heart stops beating. And I'm going to find you guilty right off the bat. And you know you're guilty. You know what you've done. You know what's in your past. You know what's attached to you. But rather than wait until you step into eternity and I have to judge you and separate you from me because you have sin in your life and it's attached to you, I want to judge you right now. And the only one stopping him from doing that is you. And so what does he say? See, he knows that. Listen to what he says. Verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, here's what you need to do. He goes, be self-controlled. In other words, take control right now of your life. Stop living it like the world tells you to live. Stop living it the way that your flesh has told you to live. And awaken in your spirit and take control of your life right now. And look what he says. And be sober-minded. Sober up. Stop dreaming. Stop walking in this mindlessness. And acting like nothing matters. And acting like this is no big deal. And acting like I can do whatever I want to do. God says you better get control of your life. And you better sober up. Why? Why would he tell us to sober up? For the sake of our prayers. Why? So that you and I can communicate with God. Because God desires to communicate with us. More than anything, man, God wants you to hear his voice. God wants you to know how serious the penalty of your sin is. God wants you to know that Jesus didn't die by accident. Jesus died on purpose. He suffered for your sin, and he suffered for my sin. And so watch this. And this is so powerful. This is so amazing. This is what this entire message is built on right here in verse 8. Look at this. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Constantly love one another. I can hate what you're doing, but I can still love you. Since, watch this, since what? Since love. What kind of love? Agape love. Man, this more than nuclear love that we're talking about right now. This agape love of God, watch it, covers a multitude of sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. Here's my past. There's nothing I can do about that. It is what it is at this point. But man, how much does God love me? Enough to send his own son to suffer in my place, to shed his blood, so that the love of God can come into my life. And cover me. And so all of a sudden, when God looks at me, he doesn't see my sin. He doesn't see my past. When I receive and when I accept this gift that Christ gave to you and to me, when I acknowledge that he suffered for my sins, and when I receive him, when I receive that gift into my life, Christ's blood covers my sin. It's the ultimate love of God. It's the ultimate price that God has paid to show you just how much he loves you and how much he loves me. Love covers a multitude of sin. In the Greek, the word for multitude is mega. I mean, it's like as large as you can think. You go, but you don't know what I've done. No, but God does, and Christ's blood is powerful enough through the love of God to cover all of your sin. It doesn't matter what you've done. You can't defeat God's love. Nothing in this world is more powerful, and nobody else on the face of this planet that has ever lived has done what Jesus has done precisely for you. So let me back up a second, back to 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous. Why? That he might bring us to God. Man, Jesus wants to walk with us to the Father. proud of us, not ashamed of us, to bring us to God, being put to death in what? In the flesh. He was put to death in his flesh. What do I have to do? Die to my flesh. Die to myself. Die to my human passion. And turn toward the will of God. But made alive in the Spirit. Now I want you to see this, because we're talking about flesh right now. And then I want you to see what he actually covers us with. Revelation 1:5, it'll be on the screen, watch this. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who what? Loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. That's what God has done for you and I through Christ. He's freed us from our sin. How? By loving us enough to cover our sin with the blood of Christ. To cover us with his own precious blood. So that when you and I, when we come to that place in life where we acknowledge our sin, and God requires that, that we acknowledge before him that, man, we have blown it. Man, we have made mistake after mistake. Man, when I look at my past, it is full of sin. It is full of junk. And when you and I believe that Jesus Christ, his son, died for our sin, that his death on the cross was not by accident, but his death on the cross is actually really part of our past, and he died there to suffer for our sins and to take our sin upon himself so that he could cover us with his blood. When you and I believe that, and when we repent of our sin, when you and I finally tell God, God, I'm sorry for this. Forgive me. Then God covers you with the blood of his son, his own precious, spotless, perfect sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. We're getting ready to partake in communion here as church family. It's a very, very special time. The juice that we drink represents the blood of Christ. The bread that we eat represents the body of Christ. His flesh given, his perfect body, and his blood given on your behalf and on my behalf. So the scriptures tell us not to take it lightly and not to take it for granted. So if you're in here today, and maybe today you've heard this, and you had no idea, you were not expecting this when you come in these doors. But today you're willing to acknowledge your sin before God. Then God will hear you. God's ready right now to take away your sin, to hide your sin, to cover them with his love, with the blood of Jesus, if you'll just ask him to. Christ suffered on our behalf to make it this easy for me and you. That all you and I have to do is, through faith, believe that he is who he says he is, and that he diligently rewards those who come to him. And he'll reward you today with salvation. When you acknowledge to God that you've sinned, you repent of your sin, you turn away from your sin, you turn away from human passion, and you embrace the God who died for you and gave his all for you, then you're ready for communion. If you're a Christian in here today, and maybe you've got some things going on in your life, maybe you've got some sin you've been hanging on to, God says this is the time to examine yourself and make yourself right and acknowledge your sin before God and repent of your sin before God. Because if you're a Christian and Christ already lives inside of you, then you are who you are. But sometimes, man, we do slip. Sometimes we do struggle. Sometimes we do get out of the way. But when you do, all you're ever going to do is invite God's discipline into your life. And the reason why God disciplines you is because he loves you. You don't let your kids do anything they want to do you? You discipline them. Why? Because you love them, because you want the best for them. God wants the best for you. If you're a Christian in here today and there's sin in your life, God wants the best for you. And as long as you hang on to that sin, it's going to separate you from the most healthy relationship that you could have with him. God would say, examine yourself right now before him and acknowledge that. And if you're a Christian in here today, and man, maybe you're living a life of repentance, and God is like really deeply working in your heart right now, and you really don't have anything that you're not be that you need to repent of right here today, then pray for other people in this room. Especially pray for those who come in these doors today, man, and they've never fully realized what God has done for them. Or they've rejected it time and time again. Communion today is to say to God, God, I do believe in your Son. I do repent of my sin. I do accept this example of blood, and I do accept this example of the flesh that was given on my behalf. I not only acknowledge it, but I receive it. I receive Christ's blood into my life to wash my sins and to cleanse my sins. And so, Father, when you look at me, all I want you to see is the blood of your Son, because I'm ashamed of who I became. So could we just take a moment here and just bow our heads, close our eyes? Just take a moment, bow your heads, close your eyes, and think about your past. Think about who you were. Think about what you've done. And then think about what God is telling you that he has done for you. Father, as you are working and you're moving and you're shaping our hearts right now, God, you have our attention. Father, we desperately need you in our lives. God, please help us to sober up, because we don't want to be at a place where somehow we have convinced ourselves that we're okay, or somehow we've convinced ourselves that we know more than you, more than what you've revealed to us. And so we would make choices and we would make decisions that would hinder us, and decisions that would keep us away from you. God, please open our hearts right now. God, here's my heart. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true to me right now. God, as I ponder my past, I regret it. As I ponder the things that I've done, the things that I've said, the way that I've lived, the people that I've hurt, God, right now, I'm sorry. And Father, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sin. I'm asking you to cleanse me of my unrighteousness as I cling to the cross of Jesus. Father, I don't have anywhere else to go. I can't hide from you. But I thank you today, God, that I don't need to, because you can hide me with the blood of your Son. You take the blood of your dear Son and you cover all of my sin. And not only do you do that for me, but then you grant me to spend eternity with you forever. Father, there's nothing greater, nothing better, nothing sweeter, no greater expression of love could possibly be given than that you would come down from heaven and save me. Father, I ask you today to forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me. Cleanse my heart today. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray.